Welcome to the South Elkhorn Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the weekly messages. For bulletin material, reflection guides, and other resources, visit southelkhorncc.org. Let me reiterate again, thank you to those of you who show up on Sunday morning, especially when you know you might get called on stage. Jesus told a story, he told a parable about two men who came into the temple to pray. One man stood up and prayed, thanking God that he was not like them. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, tax collectors. Another man came into the temple and, standing at a distance, prayed, God, have mercy on me, for I am in need of your healing. Jesus told this story, this is a story of extremes, to highlight not that praying is bad, not that entering into the temple, into the holy space where attention can be turned to God is bad, but because it's possible that other things can creep into our prayers, that even our thanks can be hijacked and warped. In this case, with this example, someone who was infected by superiority and who cared more to highlight themselves than to do what thanks is really all about. Indeed, I think that Jesus cares very deeply about thanks, about what it means to live gratefully, to live a grateful and generous life. In fact, the story we're about to read highlights just that. Even so, I think that parable, that story that Jesus tells, reminds us that it matters not just that we give thanks, but also how we give thanks. And so as we enter into a season when thanks might be on our lips, Thanksgiving, when we enter into a time when perhaps we're figuring out ways to practice gratitude, I know some folks are trying to practice daily gratitude every day of November, I want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what it means to give thanks and what it means to give thanks faithfully and well. So I want to invite you into a story that you've seen acted out for you now by the children and by those intrepid souls who were called onto stage. Grateful as I am for Holly's leadership and for her creativity to bring this story to life. Now hear these words as they are written in the NRSV translation in Luke's Gospel, reading verses 11 through 19 of the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He then prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. The word of God for the people of God. Well, I had a different opening, but I just want to say, I give thanks for the sound of children. I give thanks for the sound of children. Unexpressed gratitude feels like ingratitude to the people for whom we are thankful. Unexpressed gratitude feels like ingratitude to the people for whom we are thankful. When I heard those words many years ago from a pastor who was preaching, they shook me to my core. And they have stayed with me, so much so that I can quote it word for word, what that pastor said. Unexpressed gratitude feels like ingratitude to the people for whom we are grateful. Don't just count your blessings, express your thanks. Don't just say what you're thankful for to yourself, say it to someone else. An attitude of gratitude is great, but actually giving thanks, even better. If you don't hear anything else from the sermon today, if you don't hear anything else I say, I hope you'll hear this. It matters that we give thanks. And so I hope this week, today even, you say thank you. Say thank you to someone who matters to you. Say thank you to someone you care about. And don't just say a general thank you, though those are good. And I try to teach my children to say thanks. But say thank you for something. What has somebody done for you? What does somebody mean to you? Why are you thankful? If you hear nothing else from the sermon today, I hope you'll take this opportunity today, this week, maybe as a daily practice in your life, to say thank you and express your gratitude. Now, I suspect if you're like me and like many people I've talked to, you might think, I don't need thanks. Maybe none of us needs thanks, or so we like to tell ourselves. We like to think we don't like to be thanked. We would have done what we were going to do regardless. And yet, I want you to think about a time when someone said thank you to you, wrote you a note, sent a text, called you on the phone, wrote you an email, caught you before, during, or after church, and said thanks. How did it make you feel? How did it make you feel? We might think we don't need thanks, and yet there's something about being thanked which impacts us, which makes a difference in our lives, which feels good. In fact, this is being celebrated as social science assesses that living a grateful life, that being caught up in the swirl of gratitude has a positive influence on us. Giving and receiving thanks makes a difference. It really does. Thank you affects us. It impacts us. And the people, and I've wondered why it is that I am so quick, I am so reticent to receive people's thanks. I want to minimize or diminish it. I'll often say, oh, it's no big deal. Really, it was nothing. It's really okay. No thanks are even needed. But what if thanks are needed? What if saying thank you really does make a difference to the person who's expressing it? What if giving thanks touches some aspect, some core part of what it means to be human, that relational part of being human? What if giving thanks activates something within us that is a part of who we are at our most fundamental level and strengthens, nourishes us, and energizes us? What if people really do need to say thank you? I've been challenged to say these other words. You're welcome. It was my honor and pleasure. I'm so glad it made a difference to you. I've had to work hard at just receiving thanks. I don't know what it is. Am I trying to keep up an image of humility? Am I trying to, I don't know, I don't like the attention. I'm not sure. Maybe some of you have those same feelings too, but I have come to see what a blessing it is for people to express thanks, and who am I to block that blessing? So I've been working on myself just to receive thanks. To receive thanks. You are welcome. I am glad that made a difference to you. If you hear nothing else this sermon and you remember to give thanks this morning, I hope you'll also remember to receive thanks. To receive thanks. Indeed, as I turn to the story and we look at the story of Jesus on the road, who comes across some people with leprosy, we might think, I first thought, man, Jesus, he's like fishing for thanks, isn't he? Like needs a kind word to feel good about himself. He's like, well, you guys didn't come back and say thanks? Come on. I mean, that's probably not the attitude we should have when we're doing kind and good and merciful and helpful and healing things for others. Like, and now it's your turn to thank me. And yet, maybe Jesus is identifying this because God, Jesus, they don't need our thanks, but they know we need to give thanks. They know it makes a difference to us when we're mindful and aware of what we can be thankful for and express it. If you hear nothing else in the sermon this morning and you know it's good to give thanks, you know it's good to receive thanks, know that it is good, important, part of our spiritual lives to express ourselves in thanksgiving. That God doesn't need our thanks, but God knows we do. Knows we need to give and receive thanks. This is a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story that is connected in many ways to other parts of Scripture. It's a story that it connects with other themes that are in Luke's gospel, including the fact that Jesus comes again face to face, intersects on the path of life and ministry with those who would otherwise be ignored or rejected, those who would be on the edges of society. Jesus comes face to face with those with leprosy on the road outside the city, where folks with this leprosy was a catch-all word for a number of skin conditions, it is thought, in the ancient world. And folks who were identified in this way would have had to leave the community, leave the society, and therefore leave some of the support networks and some of the other things that people need, belonging, affection, support. And Jesus, throughout his ministry, continually sees what other people don't, continually sees who other people don't. And Jesus sees, it says very clearly in this story, Jesus sees them. And they cry out to him. Now, importantly, when Luke tells this story of Jesus on the road, there's something interesting that our translation misses. Our translation says, there were 10 lepers. That's not what the Greek says. The Greek says there were 10 men with leprosy. And Jesus sees them. Jesus sees them for the dignity of their humanity, not for the affliction that has befallen them. It matters that the Greek says men with leprosy and not lepers. That's been a challenge to me to rethink my own language that's at the heart, that comes from a place of faithfulness to God, to see the dignity of people and not call people by their affliction, their struggle, or their condition. Not alcoholics, people who struggle with alcohol use disorder. Not the disabled, people with a disability. I've been challenging myself to do what Jesus did and see people for their humanity and their dignity and not reduce them to their condition or their suffering or their affliction from a place of faith. I love that in the story, as Luke tells it, they are men, people with leprosy who Jesus sees and sees beyond their condition such that he heals them. He tells them to go and to report to the priest, who that was part of the law at the time, in order to be declared clean, to be restored to community, to society. The priest had to declare them as such. And continually, this is the story of Jesus, who's not just healing people, but wanting to restore people to community and connection and belonging and inclusion. Jesus sees them, heals them, instructs them how to be restored to community. And they are not reduced to their condition. It's a beautiful, beautiful story, one that we see throughout Luke's gospel, one that we see time and time again in the life and ministry of Jesus, but that's not the surprise of this story. The surprise of this story is not that there are marginalized people who Jesus sees and heals and restores to community. That would be good enough in itself. But of course, with every story of Jesus, there's another surprise lurking. There's another layer waiting for us to discover. And here it is again. That even in this caste system where folks with this kind of sickness were marginalized and excluded, even within this caste system, there was a pecking order. Because it's not just anyone who returns to Jesus to give thanks. It's a Samaritan. What? Now, to understand the full force of this impact, we have to recognize this story in Luke's gospel is connected to another story in Luke's gospel about a Samaritan. One I preached on just a few weeks ago. We explored together the story that's traditionally called the story of the Good Samaritan, or as I've named it, the one who had compassion. And to understand what's going on there in Luke 10, a lawyer comes and asks Jesus a question. And Jesus sums up the law, or ask the lawyer to sum up the nature of God's teaching to the people of Israel, and it's summed up this way: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer then says, well, who's my neighbor? And we get the story that is often called the story of the Good Samaritan, where the surprise of the story is that the Samaritan is the one who shows faithful neighborliness when Samaritans were considered anything but faithful. They were other, alien, foreign, inferior, They worshiped in a way that was polluted, distorted. It wasn't faithful. And yet Jesus lifts up the Samaritan as the one through whom God's mercy and compassion could be at work. Now, go back to that double love command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor and love yourself. The story of the one who had compassion that follows is about who has faithful neighborliness. This story is about who worships God faithfully. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. These stories are meant to be paired together. One, a parable. One, an interaction of Jesus on the road with people who have leprosy, one of whom was a Samaritan, and one of whom models faithful worship of God. Giving thanks. Praising and honoring God and giving thanks to Jesus for the healing that took place in his life. If you want to know what worship looks like, it's gratitude. It's praising. It's giving thanks for the healing that is at work within us and among us and between us and through us. It's thanksgiving. It's gratitude. That's what worship is. When we gather to worship on Sunday mornings, we're doing a whole bunch of things, but at the very heart of it is giving thanks for the God who meets us here, who loves us into new life, who loves all of us into new life and changes us and transforms us. And Jesus knows when we give thanks, we are transformed. That whatever healing is already going on in our life is intensified and extended by the act of giving thanks. Thanks heals us. It changes us. It transforms us. It invites us back into relationship with others. I don't think Jesus was fishing for a compliment. I don't think Jesus just needed to hear the words, thank you. I think Jesus knew that what this person was doing was modeling for everyone, the disciples who were there alongside Jesus and everyone who would read these words, what faithful worship of God looks like. It looks like giving thanks for being able to see that we are being healed in many different ways, that God has a hand in it, and we are here to thank God for it. And not just that we're here to thank God for it, but we're here also to be mindful of the fact that there are other people in our lives who have been a part of our healing, our growth, our transformation, who have been there to support us and help us, who have been there to nourish us and encourage us, who have been there to pick us up when we've fallen down. And I don't think God needs to hear our thanks. I think God knows we need to give thanks and knows we need to give thanks not only to God, but also to those in our lives through whom God has been at work. Now, at risk of being a little provocative, I'm going to suggest there's a difference between cheap gratitude and deep gratitude, and it rhymes, so it must be true. Cheap gratitude and deep gratitude. I want to say this first and foremost. If we're not good at giving thanks, just give thanks. Doesn't matter how clumsy you are with it. Doesn't matter about doing it the right way or the wrong way. Just give thanks. But I want to suggest that part of the maturity of faith, part of growing in the maturity of faithfulness to God, part of growing in a relationship with God is learning how to move from cheap gratitude to deep gratitude. Cheap gratitude is about stuff and things. It's about what I have, what I own. It might even be in the spirit of that parable that Jesus told about comparison, about what others don't have, what I do have. Moving from stuff and things to people and relationships and character. Deep gratitude is about people. It's about God. It's about character. Thank you, God, for how you are teaching me, for how I'm learning and growing. Thank you, God, for this person who has supported me. And it's also about learning to express deep gratitude to others, not just for a gift they've given. That's great. That's awesome. That's wonderful. For what it means to me. For the difference it's made in my life, for what it's teaching me, for how it's helped me. Deep gratitude is about relationship and people and character. Cheap gratitude is about stuff and things. It matters that we give thanks, cheaply or deeply. But I want to suggest that this story and a relationship with God invites us to take a step towards relationship and character. And away from just stuff and things. If you remember nothing else from this sermon, I hope you remember this. that God doesn't need our thanks, but God knows we need to give it. And God creates a space for us to be grateful and to praise and to honor God and to give thanks. And what a blessing it is when we're able to receive that thanks from others. And what a blessing it is when we're able to deeply thank those in our lives who matter to us, who mean something to us. And so it is that I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, church, for being the church. The world needs us. God is believing in us, and we get the opportunity to live out the grace and the love and the healing of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thanks for listening to the message this week. Visit southelkhorncc.org, where you can download reflection and discussion guides to dig deeper into the weekly scripture and message.